I'm Are You Serious? And this is my show.
Natural disasters,
and eventually the end of the world. Are you serious? Is all this so-called Web 2.0 social networking crap making you wish people would stop being so fucking friendly? Well, stay tuned because we'll be talking to the artist behind NoSo, that stands for No Social Networking, in just a few. But first, let me remind you, please send us your audio comments, and we may comment them, you don't know, on upcoming shows. So go to areyouseriousradio.com and do this, okay? We want you to do it. Not just one or two of you, but three or four of you. It would be great. And secondly, we've got our special guest co-host, Larry Harvey, with us. And we, of course, have Jeff Deal. And hooray, Diana Brown is back.
Delighted to be so. Hello, guys.
Hi.
All these shiny faces. Hi. I have a question for you because I've been reading. So here's the question. Guys, you know, administrative wiretapping aside, what hate-filled things do you say about the neocons when you think they aren't listening?
I try not to be a hater, but I do sometimes say that I would hang them upside down by their balls from a telephone pole, but only for a few minutes and gently. See, and of course, this excludes the ladies.
Oh, well, because they don't have the same appendages with which to hang them. Makes you kind of a nice guy to only do it for a little while. Jeff?
I don't know. You know, I waver back and forth. Sometimes I actually sympathize and have to think that they have honestly come to their beliefs, and they have, you know, the good of something in mind, you know, America perhaps. Yeah. But then I swing over to the other side, and I just think that they're all racists, and they really, you know, just hate anything that doesn't look like them. That's my general.
Larry Harvey, do you have a vibe about the neocons?
Well, I rejoice in their discomfiture, you know.
you wouldn't hang them by the balls.
But I don't. I try to refrain from sadistic fantasies. I'll let them wound themselves.
Honestly, though, if RU had them hung by their balls, would you laugh along a little bit?
No, I wouldn't. I believe in the Geneva Convention.
You see, I knew it. I knew your responses.
Me and the neocons.
I just knew your responses, though, would be
crap.
Like kittens purring compared to some of the choice words the neocons have to say about all of us they perceive as liberals. And that was the article that I've been obsessed with over the last few days. Boing Boing directed us to this great article on alternet.org. And it seems that Johan, I hope I'm saying your name right, or Johan Hari, who writes for The Independent in the UK, decided to take a little trip. The National Review, the Bible of American conservatism, to quote Johan, organizes a cruise every year for its readers. So they get to go along and meet their idols. And he opens his article describing this moment where he's standing in the Pacific talking to a sweet-seeming elderly lady. She's waxing on about her lovely only child, her son. She asks him if he has any kids, and his response is no. And her response, which gets the ball rolling, is, well, her face darkening, you'd better start. The Muslims are breeding, and soon they'll have the whole of Europe. And this is the theme of this cruise, really, as Johan puts it, the Muslims are coming. The next individual he describes is a chatty gal around 35 years old from California. I won't even say her name. And she's talking about the perils of Republican dating, and then he's kind of phasing out, but he wakes up when she hears her say, you know, we just need to execute a few of these people.
Now, it's in that spirit that I was perhaps moved, having read the article, towards a response in kind. I just I tend to snap back.
It does tend to make you wake up and think of an eye for an eye when people are talking about. To put it, she says, we just need to take a few of these prominent liberals who are trying to demoralize the country and just take them off to the gas chamber for treason.
Now, this may be becoming more plausible. I think during the last week, there was some new law signed by President Bush. Not a law, I guess, but
an executive order
That seems to relate to freedom of people to gather in protest, particularly as it relates to the Iraq war, and somehow makes it criminal to
gather.
Actively subvert the war effort. People looked at this. I haven't looked at it closely yet.
Yeah, I briefly read some stuff. It was about destabilizing, contributing to the destabilization. It's pretty bad. A lot of scholars were like, "This is by far the worst."
Right. I mean, they could round up half the Congress at this
point. I'm thinking, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid today has put together a proposal that to censor Bush, and he's not getting a lot of
censure.
But to count how many of them there are. But back to our little story at hand, which
I have to say, just to break in here for a second. I mean, I've had conversations
Let me just rephrase that. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid won't back this measure. This is put out by another gentleman, and he's not getting the support of the Senate Majority Leader. But I digress. Go on.
I forget what I was saying. Well, I was just going to say that I've had conversations with liberals and progressives who, you know, got carried away with their hatred of the right and of George Bush, and said things like, you know, we should kill liberals or kill Bush, especially, you know, execute him or assassinate him, call for his assassination or something like that. I don't know if it's in the same vein as what we're hearing here, or if this is just, you know, a bunch of neocons who are amongst their own, and it's almost maybe not joking, but in some sense rhetorical. Is it for real? I don't know.
I think maybe the distinction is that these people are actually in the mainstream. Mm. And like if we're hanging out with some of our wilder countercultural friends who might say string them all up from telephone poles or something like that.
Sure.
They're not really. I mean, that's not Harper's Magazine, you know, or the New Republic or even the Village Voice or something like that. You're going to find that way out on the fringes. But on the right, this is like totally in the
Middle of the road.
This is in power and in the mainstream, and these attitudes are very influential. You know, and I don't think on the other extreme, I don't think that, you know, people who want to...
These are not necessarily just a bunch of really far out there right-wing nutjobs.
They are far out there.
Well, but I mean, they're not farther out there than the middle that you're speaking of.
Right.
These are the kind of standard run-of-the-mill. One lady, a Park Avenue lady, this writer describes, says she gets down on her knees every day to thank God for the Fox News network. And her table mate, this is a conversation that's going on at dinner, her table mate rallies to say we should just kill all the liberals because they hate Americans. They want America to fail. So the writer asks, so why are the liberals like this? What is their motivation? And they kind of don't know what to say.
They eventually agree that they're intellectuals,
which is
sort of funny because National Review actually is sort of the intellectual magazine, or at least the mainstream intellectual magazine of the conservatives. And it's the grandchild of William F. Buckley.
Yes.
Who was quite intellectual. Actually, I remember John Barlow when he went on to a debate with William Buckley. He was, basically whooped like a schoolboy and sort of came out, shake his hand, going, you know, you can't really take on Buckley too easily. And Buckley is on the cruise, and he actually doesn't like these people, and they don't like him.
Exactly. They at one point they're talking about how Buckley's getting old, and the wife goes, "Yeah."
Yeah, he's not a neocon, right?
No, well, not Buckley. So much. I mean, he was actually going head to head in the Vista Lounge. Instead of having showgirls, they had a sort of a panel discussion, and that's where the feuding and the fighting started out with Buckley, the founder, and this gentleman named Poteretz, whose name I'm probably mispronouncing.
Poteretz.
And
former liberal
Paladin described as
Ginsburg.
A Brooklyn-born street-fighting kid, used to be very left and is now very right of center, if not further. And he went on to say that the weapons of mass destruction were shipped to Syria, and that's why we didn't find them.
He paid for the postage.
When the beam of light is broken by a solid object, such as this head, the electric eye control opens the faucet, and there's your drink.
Welcome to NOSO. NOSO is a real-world platform for temporary disengagement from your social networking environment. The NOSO experience allows you to create no connections by scheduling no events with no friends. You may be asking yourself, why do I need NOSO? As someone who's online 24/7, you have a lot to keep up with. When you're not blogging, you're vlogging. When you're not vlogging, you're podcasting. When you're not podcasting, you're Skyping, texting, IMing, dating, trading, sharing, subscribing, downloading, updating, linking, approving, adding, checking, sending. I think you get the picture. Sometimes you need a break. Sometimes you need NOSO.
We are here to talk to the folks from NOSO, short for No Social Networking. We've got Gilbert Guerrero, the web developer, here in the studio. And via Skype in New York City, skyscrapers and everything, we have Christina Ray, who came up with the concept, and Kurt Biggenhoe. He and Christina are the creative directors behind NOSO. So why don't you, let's start with Christina. Why don't you explain the basics of what happens or not happens in a NOSO?
Okay. A NOSO can happen in a number of different places. It could happen on a street corner or in a cafe or in an installation in a gallery setting. And what happens is we invite people to take a break from their everyday experiences carrying around laptops and cell phones and just disengage from the noise, the social network, the constant communication that's going on around us all the time, and experience just the absence of that, the feeling of being without all those distractions.
So, Christina, aside from making fun of social networking, do you also do it?
Oh, absolutely. We're a highly connected, unconnected project, if you will.
So you'd say that you're ambiguous about social networking?
Yes, I think you could say that.
All right. So would you say this is, either of you actually, would you say this is sort of an anti-flash mob, but at the same time, it's sort of like a flash mob, isn't it?
It's kind of people have termed it an inverted flash mob or anti-flash mob. Because we do, it allows for people to schedule an experience, and we call it kind of a non-experience. Because once you schedule it and then arrive at the destination through our website, you're not really meant to engage with anyone there. You're meant to actually have your private experience within this sort of larger social experience. So I guess we're playing with metaphors of connectivity versus non-connectivity and sort of a network that is there, but also not there at the same time.
Are any of you familiar with Brian Eno's concept of a nightclub where everybody just goes and sits in silence?
Yes. may be some similarity there.
I was just going to say, Brian Eno is definitely a personal hero. So I think that, I love that concept as well.
I think I read in Christina's biography, actually, that your work is really involved with exploring space, sort of exploring urban space. And can you talk about some of the ways in which you've done that and how they connect to the current project?
I actually became interested in the concept of psychogeography, which really just relates to how your urban environment affects you and vice versa, through street photography, which I was doing for several years, looking for new ways to explore the city. So I came across experiments that people were doing using alternative mapping techniques, maps that they created on their own, or kind of map mashups, interesting ways to explore the city, because I was looking for new places to photograph. That was sort of the start of it. And since then, I've done a number of sort of public space projects that deal with mapping, collaborating, sort of using the people who are on the streets to participate in a project or instigate actions. And it's a lot of collaborative work. It's created a number of different collaborations, and this is really just the most current one, because what we're trying to do is use the space of the city to allow people to have a new experience.
It sort of all reminds me of the Derive going back to the Situationists, when they used to just sort of suggested going out in a great wander all over the urban terrain many years ago. Let's bring Gilbert into this. Aside from being a designer, you participate in some of these things?
Oh, yeah, I did. The kind of NoSo headquarters was at Southern Exposure, and we had a zone there that was kind of blocked off or cordoned off as a place to disconnect. Once you walked into that zone, you had to turn everything off. And while I was in there, I turned off my cell phone, and after I walked out, I forgot to turn it back on, which was pretty amazing. Yeah, but I mean, when I'm working, I work, I'm a contractor, so I spend a lot of my time in cafes, you know, changing environments, working on my laptop. Yeah. And what's amazing to see, like here in San Francisco at Ritual Cafe, if you walk in there, there are like, you know, 50 people in there, and they're all facing their laptops, and nobody's right. talking to anybody else.
I know. I mean, if you've been to nerd parties, I mean, people are right there sending email to one another.
They're chatting online. Like.
Right.
Part of the inspiration for this project actually came out of environments like that Gilbert was talking about. For example, the South by Southwest conference, other sort of technology conferences where you have 200 or 300 people sitting in a room together, and everyone is at the same time like listening to a presentation, texting, chatting, sending emails,
blogging about it,
everything all at the same time while they're trying to listen to a presentation. Right. So there's this meta level of connection going on even when you're sitting in a crowded room full of people. And that is, I think, funny. At the same time, it points to a lot of larger issues that just how technology is affecting us in general.
Do you get a lot of participants in these events or non-events?
We've had a pretty good number of registrants and a lot of people, writing in saying, hey, we're in Toronto or we're in Mexico City or we're over here. Can we do a NoSo there? Because we've set this up in an interesting way. We've set it up so that it's local. Well, it's a website, but it's also localized. So currently it was launched in San Francisco and all of the NoSos took place in San Francisco. We've had interest from around the world to kind of broaden it and open it up and add allow other people to have NoSos. And I think we kind of hit a nerve, with Web 2.0 becoming a common term and sort of the zeitgeist of it all, of social networking, et cetera. Everyone's talking about it. Websites are being relaunched to incorporate, video podcasting and what have you. And so I think by taking the antithesis of that and providing a sort of a counterpoint, we kind of hit a nerve.
Now, one of the odd things about the Web 2.0, the economics of it all is very convenient for the people who own these companies, because basically they set up the thoroughfare. And then people pay to provide the content that they pay to experience. And are you in some ways parodying that reality, that economic relation?
No, actually, we would like to make a couple $1 million from this project.
Well, that's besides the point.
No,
so would
just
we?
Just kidding. We are a little bit. We have on our website, you can see we have some sponsors listed that are really just sort of participating in the project. We don't have advertising on the site, but the project has kind of an emptiness in it. You have a user profile with not much information in it. You have a social network with no friends. You have a photograph that's not you. So it's sort of the opposite of a lot of these social networking sites. There's no money to be made from it. It's sort of just taking the common Web 2.0 experience and trying to invert it or reverse it in a way.
Do you get interesting responses from people about the experiences that they've had as a result of going to these?
Yeah, I think so. Certainly, you know, when we were in San Francisco, we were talking to a lot of people who right after they came out of the on-site zone that we set up, where we had a number of, we had a number of rules that apply to your entering the zone, and they included, you know, no talking, no headphones, no laptops, no cell phones, cameras, no Game Boys, and also no satellite TVs. So a little bit of a little comedy there, but it was, you know, it became almost like a Zen-like experience for people. So they would go in there, 2, 3, 4 people at a time, sit down and not talk, and not really look at each other. And so there's an interesting, you know, I guess people were telling me there's an interesting, you know, it's a paradoxical experience. You're so close to somebody, but you're not really allowed to communicate, or you're not really allowed to connect into this private experience. And I think people felt, I guess, refreshed or energized in a way. They came out and they wanted to chat about the experience. So they wanted to talk to 10 people, and then a few phone calls immediately.
Well, I know a few people were actually, I think maybe they felt intimidated by the experience as well.
Really?
Just not connecting is such a, it's not like snubbing someone else, but it's close to that. Maybe it's an aggressive move to not say something to somebody.
There's definitely some cynicism involved in the you know, bringing out that other side of the coin and kind of existing in that paradox. So, yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. I got feedback from some people that they felt like it was being in an elevator, sort of, that feeling where you're not, you can talk, but it's sort of awkward and you're not really sure what to say. You want to look at your phone or do something, but that sort of awkward, quiet experience was common, I think.
I think definitely awkwardness was part of it.
This is about the point where we usually pause for a song. I'm tempted to say that we're going to listen to John Cage's famous song where he's just silent for 4 minutes and 35 seconds or something like that. But I don't think we'll do that. but we will be back after this tune to talk more from the folks from NOSO. We'll be right back. We're back, and I want to talk to our live guest, Gilberto, a little bit about what drew you into your project, into this project, and what your sense of the concept behind it is.
Well, I met Christina Ray through, and Christina and Kurt through the Southern Exposure crew, I guess, that they knew that I had just quit my job in advertising, and I was so sick of the whole advertising world that I wanted to break out and do, of course, use the skills that I had to make money, to be able to pay my rent and things like that as a contractor, but not to build corporate websites or, you know, sites with banner ads and all kinds of other crap on them.
Pulling a Lloyd Dobler.
Lloyd Dobler?
You know the Lloyd Dobler?
No.
Don't say anything.
Reference. We'll try to remember to have a link to the discussion about Lloyd Dobler on the Reason website. But anyway, right. Do continue.
So when Courtney Fink at Southern Exposure told me about this project, I thought it was perfect, you know, to a way to subvert all of that kind of this media kind of craze with with all the Web 2.0, all the marketing language too is so like
branding.
Sickening. Yeah, everything's branded, right? So Christina and Kurt had this great idea to invert that branding and repackage it. Maybe to get people to think, which is kind of nice.
Kurt, can you tell us about the SAMs and the organizers, and is there a relationship between those ideas and what you're doing here with NOSO?
Well, the SAMs was a project we did in Art Basel in Miami Beach in 2006, and that was Christine and myself. To do the project, we formed a group called the Organizers, and wanted to develop projects that involve participation, organization, people in sort of interesting interactions with the audience in real time, in real space. And the project we did was to essentially clone the director of the festival, Daniel Keller, and create a series of kits, 100 kits that we handed out at a cloning ceremony in a gallery, and they allowed you to kind of transform yourself into Sam Keller, including a t-shirt, instructions, a fake badge, and also a ball cap, because Sam is bald. So kind of, it was a lot of humor, and this concept of creating a group, or creating a kind of an instant army or an instant set of people to go out into the sort of the social scene of Art Basel, which is very much about going to the right parties or going to the right events, getting on the list, etc. So we wanted to kind of have fun with that as a backdrop and encourage people to infiltrate in a sense and to do it all as this kind of shared identity. So that was the SAMS project, and that was quite a bit of fun, and also was our first working relationship, myself and Christina, on a project like this.
So everybody there could say that this fellow who was popular on the scene was at their party tonight, no matter where the party was. I think Andy Warhol used to do
exactly.
Something like that,
yeah.
in New York City. We had V. Vale from Research Publications on our show a couple of times, and his main theme was that we no longer have interior lives because we're so completely mediated. And is this part of what you guys are trying to challenge as well? You want to talk to that, Gilbert?
That's something I've been doing a lot more thinking about. I know that I get tons of spam in my inbox,
right.
And a lot of that is just probably because my email address is in so many places. I work full-time in San Francisco also as an artist, so I'm constantly promoting all kinds of things and associating myself with other organizations. But you type my name into Google and there's pages of just stuff about me, and it's kind of scary. I want to go backwards now and reverse that kind of whole, the importance of identity on the internet.
Right.
And try to try to squash that. I think the no-so is really good at doing that in a way, because you can be anonymous there. You can you can take part or participate without letting anybody know who you are or why you're there.
Do a lot of people sit there and read books by any chance? V-Vale was very adamant about that people need to read more books.
Yeah.
Of course, he sells books.
Yes, he does.
Sometimes when you're in a no-so, you're not actually sure who else is there. You can schedule a no-so if you have a profile on our calendar. And if you, for example, decide to meet, to have your no-so at a cafe, you'll show up and you might be reading a book, but it's unclear who the other participants are and what they're doing. So that was one of the original inspirations for the project, almost kind of hiding in public space. So not only are you not using your devices, but you're also not sure who else is sort of in on the joke or in on the secret. So you might be reading a book, you might be just sitting on a park bench, lurking on the corner, window shopping, that kind of thing, all while you're participating in a no-so.
This could turn into some kind of flash mob form of spying, actually. I think I'm going to suggest this to my friends at the CIA. Christina, Larry Harvey, who created Burning Man, is a co-host on another segment of this program today. And you talk about the use of social space. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about Burning Man as an exploration of shared space and social networking.
Well, I've never been to Burning Man, but I started about 4 years ago a festival here in New York called Conflux, and it has, you know, it's very small, but it has similar goals in bringing people together who are interested in public space and collective or community action. So that festival is my biggest project, and we bring about 100 artists together each year, and it becomes a community, sort of an ad hoc network, just for 4 days, where we have people doing projects that are very interactive. Lots of collaborations come out of the festival. Artists from different parts of the world come together and explore the city together. We have people who come in off just people on the street participate. So I'm very much interested in that concept and a big fan of Burning Man, even though I've never been myself.
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to let you guys go. Maybe I'll ask Gilbert to fill in the gaps on the last question. We want our Are You Serious show members to be part of our non-social, no-social networking group, or part of your no-so, and how would you suggest that they participate?
Not participate? Well, the cafe example that I brought up earlier where people... You go to a place like a cafe, and everyone's facing their laptops. Historically, though, cafes were the breeding grounds for revolution, which revolution can't take place if everybody's, if people can't talk to one another, right?
It doesn't take place if the coffee's too good, actually.
Yeah, that too. But revolution won't happen in pubs when everybody's drunk. So that I think that may be. I mean, this is going 4th of July, just passed not so recently, but coffee houses were so big in the United States, well, in the colony, right, the American right. colony, that as opposed to the pubs, which were so popular in England. So I think that's why the Americans were able to revolt and win.
Oh, you mean because they weren't too wiped out from the booze?
Yeah, from the booze.
Yeah, but I don't know, like Hitler got his people together in a famous beer hall pooch. how do people connect up to No-So? We'll provide a link on the site, but tell us anyway.
Yeah, people should go to the website at nosoproject.com and register and fill out a profile that says absolutely nothing about you.
All right. I've already done that, but you don't know it. And I want to thank all of you folks for joining us today. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Love's the only weapon. Shit!
Sirius.